It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody's left. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20, Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in!
For the snap in the place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's an off week for the Auburn Tigers, as you know. Football against Mercer next week, but we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Of course, the coaching search is ongoing for the next coach of the Auburn Tigers in football. We've got basketball to talk about, as the Tigers are still undefeated, heading toward a battle on Sunday with number one Houston. And a pretty good volleyball game last night in Neville Arena. Kevin Fichtner is here to talk about those a little bit at the top of the show. We'll talk to Brian Brinsfield coming up in a little bit. But, Kevin, welcome into the show. And, wow, what an exciting match last night for the Auburn Tigers and Coach Brent Crouch. They almost pulled that upset against Texas, number four team in the country, which would have gotten them into the NCAA tournament.
Yes, well, it was a fantastic night last night, Doug, and the power was out. Somebody knocked the grid off, and the game was delayed about an hour, 15 minutes, but it didn't detract from anything. The crowd was into it. The players were into it. It was senior night. We went down 2-0, fought our way back to go to a force of fifth game, and unfortunately, we lost in that fifth game. You know, I've talked about it a lot this season, but we had never been to volleyball games before, me and my family, and we went to a lot of home games this year, and we got to know some of the players because it's free admission. You can sit wherever you want, first come, first serve, and we got right down there, you know, where we would never sit for basketball, right there in the good seats on the floor, and we got to know some of the players, and my girls got to, you know, hug on them and get their autographs, take their pictures, and so we felt a little extra, you know, being a part of this team, and we've enjoyed this season. They had a great season. It would have been fantastic if they would have gotten that win last night on senior night, but now they have to do a little bit of work. They play at LSU Friday night, a good chance to win that one, but you got to do it on the road, and then you go into the SEC tournament in Savannah, Georgia the following week, and you probably need to win at least one game in Savannah at the SEC tournament to advance to the NCAA tournament. But yeah. Kudos to Coach Crouch and his team. He's had a great, you know, time since he's been here, 4 or 5 years, and he's not turned the program around, but he's been up on the upswing every year, it seems like.
Yeah, it's the same deal with the portal everywhere, I think. Players are coming and going. You try to keep up to speed, but they have a great chance, I think, to get to the postseason. A lot of injuries this year. They've been bitten by the injury bug, and they really missed Alexis in there last night, I thought, at the libero. Is that right?
Yeah, libero. Yeah, that's a position that kind of does a lot of the setting and dives in there, and they're kind of like the hub of that position. Yes, we lost Zoe. Zoe had to retire a few weeks ago because of concussions and shoulder injury. Wednesday in practice, Alexis got a concussion right before senior day, you know, Tuesday, and the game was Wednesday. But and then she may not play in LSU. And then in the game against Texas, we lost a player to an ankle injury, sprained ankle, and then Liz, one of our stars, Liz, had to pull herself out in that fifth game. It was an upper body. It wasn't lower body. I don't know if it was shoulder or what it might have been. But, it's a tough time of the year to have players go down and not have our stars in there.
Yeah, Liz had a great game last night. 20-plus kills, I think, in the ball game. And hopefully they'll make the postseason. We'll be keeping tabs on that in the next couple of weeks. But basketball heading toward a big one Sunday. They're undefeated, except for the exhibition loss. Haven't really played anybody in the regular season so far, but that's going to change this weekend. And Coach Pearl, I think he's happy maybe with where they are, but they got to make a couple of improvements here, and he's really pointing toward the defense a little bit.
Yeah, you've got to be happy, or he's got to be happy with the offense so far. We're averaging 80-plus points a game, hitting 90 a few times, and we can score, no doubt about that. But yes, the defense. We don't have those two twin towers in there like we did last year. We don't have true rim protectors. Teams have been able to drive the lane on us and kind of get the shots they've wanted. They've shot high percentage against us. We just haven't been able to have very good defensive games. Yes, we've won games, but we've given up a lot of points in those wins. So we're playing number one Houston in Birmingham, probably be a home game on Sunday, and we'll be tested. It'll be our true first test of the year against number one Houston. And they're number one for a reason. They kind of reloaded and kept some of the guys that they did have from last year's, you know, final championship game team. And they're going to be good. And they're coming to Birmingham. It'll be a great test. And can we play defense? That's going to be the question. I think we can score, but can we get some defensive stops when it matters?
And Coach Pearl really seemed to point toward Tahad Pettiford when he was talking about that defense. Like he's not so upset about Tahad shooting a low percentage right now. He thinks that'll come, but he wants him to get on the floor and get down in his defensive stance and play some defense.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's one of those coaches' tactics. You call out your best player or one of your best players and ask for more. I mean, he does need to lock it down on defense. The shooting percentage has been low for him on offense, but he will get over that. He'll get back to Tahad at some point. But can he play some defense for Coach Pearl and these Tigers? Can he set the tone? Because we got to be able to play some defense. We've got to be able to stop some guys. And hopefully the message will be received well from Tahad, and he'll go in there and lock it down on Sunday against Houston.
How about the coaching search in football, Kevin? I know you're a little gun shy on that, but you got a favorite there right now?
I
you like
not.
DJ after last week?
I mean, we showed signs of life. Now, granted, it might not have been him. It was Nick's, the O coordinator, kind of having the chains pulled off of him, and he was able to do what he wanted. The defense actually didn't do so well last week, but we showed life against Vandy, and we should beat Mercer, but I think this is his tryout. I mean, if he got a good result against Vandy offensively, and then we should beat Mercer, hopefully, and then you got the Iron Bowl. I mean, if he can win the Iron Bowl, obviously that's going to be a good thing for him, but there are other candidates out there, too, that, you know, we might not know about yet. I mean, you got the Missouri coach where he's doing good in Missouri, and he might not have the resources that Auburn does. So maybe, and he has ties here as well, so maybe we can get him over here if need be. But I think Durkin has a great audition right now with what he did at Vandy, Mercer, and then the Iron Bowl. If he can win that Iron Bowl, or at least do what he did against Vandy, make it competitive in the Iron Bowl, he might get a second look or a deep look into getting that head job.
Yeah, got to turn it all loose against the Tide in that last ball game.
Nothing to lose. You're not going to a bowl game. I mean, the Iron Bowl is our bowl game. Yeah. We're not even going. We can't even make Birmingham Bowl, you know. So we have to win that one. Unless we do beat Bama, we'll go to Birmingham or something. Yeah. But, yeah.
I don't think we're going there anyway. I don't want to go to Birmingham. No. Anyway, a good place to talk about all this, Kevin, is Big Mike's Steakhouse. We talk about it every week, and I'm ready for that ribeye this week. I think I'm going to go for the big one this week. You with me?
I'm with you. It's an off week. We don't have anything to do, so might as well load up on carbs and get that food, get some potatoes, get some of that bread with that great butter. The great salad. Maybe get some shrimp.
There's
they have all the fixings.
A lot of great games to watch on the tube since we're not playing? You got Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas, and Georgia, and Texas A&M and South Carolina, and Ole Miss and Florida. So go to Big Mike Steakhouse this week. Enjoy the atmosphere. Enjoy the ribeye steak, the filet, the strip steak, wherever you are. You might enjoy the Sugar Jordan strip. So check them out this weekend. Big Mike Steakhouse, right there in Auburn at Wire Road and Sugar Jordan Parkway. So they have great locations around the state as well. So go see them and check out their website at BigMikeSteakhouse.com.
That is right. I got some soccer teams going down to Foley for a soccer tournament this weekend. I recommended going to Big Mike's in Orange Beach. So there, I gave them, you know, hey, y'all need to go there. Go to Big Mike's.
There you go. Two new locations coming in South Alabama pretty soon as well, in Sims and Bay Minette. We'll keep you up to date on that. Kevin, always good to talk about Auburn athletics. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you again very soon. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Doug. Let's get that win Sunday against Houston.
That is going to be fun to watch. Kevin Fichtner with us. And the ball game Sunday, 2 p.m. Central Time. You can catch it right here on FM Talk 106.5. Turn us up as you watch on the tube. We'll be back to talk some college football and much more with Brian Brensfield in just a second. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Joining us now, Brian Brensfield on the line from Columbia, Tennessee. Brian, good to see you. How are you?
I'm making it. It's been a tough week, but I am here and I'm ready to see what we can pull out. Well, we're off this week, aren't we? It's like I said, it's been a rough week. So I think it's Thursday. It's Thursday, right? Tonight?
It is Thursday, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I've been kind of out of it. So, but I'm good and War Eagle.
Yeah. War Eagle, for those of you who don't know, you mentioned last week on the show that your dad had a stroke and was in the hospital. And unfortunately, you lost him the first part of this week. I know that's been tough for you and your family. And we, again, send along our thoughts and prayers for you. And, we never really got a chance to talk about your dad on the show that much. We mentioned him a little bit, but I wanted to talk about that if it's okay with you.
I'll do my best.
I think that is, a very interesting relationship. We were talking just a second ago. It's not unique, I guess, but it's somewhat rare in football. I thought about that a lot last week when I did that post.
Yeah. I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. And your dad was a national champion at Troy.
Yeah.
Troy State then, I guess.
That's right.
In 1968.
Yeah.
And you now are a national champion at Auburn in 1993. So in the last, how long has that been? A few months since they announced that?
Yeah, a couple months.
That must have been something that you guys really talked about and shared and was special to you.
Yeah, I think probably more so for him. It meant a whole lot to me, obviously. But it meant the world to him, I think. And we've got our little celebration coming up against Mercer, next weekend. And I really wanted Dad to be there, but, he'll be there, but just not, on the field. And, but it is maybe not rare, but unique or vice versa. You've got two national champions in the family and, you know, whether or not some people want to call it, and I don't care whether some people want to call the 93 team a national champion or not, that's not a problem. But, to have a team that, was a national champion in a NAIA at Troy State. And, you know, back then it was a team that, that probably could have played well against an Auburn or Alabama or Georgia because of the talent they had from those teams that transferred into Troy, and probably could have hung with them. And then we go undefeated. So, pretty rare and unique in that respect.
Yeah, and we're talking also about the coach of the Troy team, Troy State team, was Billy Atkins,
Yeah.
who played at Auburn, right?
On the 57 national title team.
Yeah.
So another title holder.
And you played with his son at Auburn.
Ace was a year ahead of me, I believe, and he took me on a recruiting visit, I think, actually, and yeah, Ace and I played together, so a lot of ties. And Coach Atkins was the lead scout for the after he quit college coaching college ball was the lead scout for the 49ers in the Phoenix, well, they were the Phoenix Cardinals back then. And he would come to the Senior Bowl every week, and I think I've mentioned this once or twice on the program, but he would come to the Senior Bowl every year. And when he did, my dad and him stayed in close contact, and we would go again. Being from Fairhope, Alabama, the Senior Bowl being in Mobile, the South team practiced at the time for many, many years,
In
decades
Fairhope.
in Fairhope at
Yeah.
our municipal stadium. And which is now Jodine Field, and we go, under my home field, and we would watch the guys practice with Billy Atkins, and then go to dinner, and so I got to know him from a very early age, and a lot of the players on the national championship team, and I sent a text out that Dad had passed, and sent updates while he had a stroke. And to a lot of his teammates, and they were a very close-knit group of people. When you win a championship like that, not a lot of people can say that they've won a national title. So they stayed really close, and to this day, they meet almost yearly. It used to be where they met at the 25th anniversary, then every 10 years, then they go five, and as we're
Right.
dwindling down, they go about every year.
Yeah.
And so these guys, my dad played center, was an all conference center, all league center, and then an honorable mention All American for 2 years, and just an anchor on the team, from what they've told me. And believe me, my dad's told me many times, but I had to verify it with the other people, the other guys, because my dad's a good storyteller.
Yeah. And I see all the pictures of him with the Auburn clothes on, shirts on, jerseys on, whatever. I know he was obviously a big follower of yours. But when did you first start to realize that kind of thing, that he was a national champion, that he was an All-American, that kind of thing? Do you remember when that first popped in?
It was early. Because the people, they were so close-knit. They would pop by the house if they were in Mobile. Al Head, one of their quarterbacks, lived in Montgomery, and Danny Grant, one of their All-American wide receivers, lived behind us in Spanish Fort in the Estates. And I had a really close relationship with his daughter Lindsay, who was an All-State. I think she was the Alabama player of the year, high school player of the year for the state of Alabama, out of Daphne High School. She played volleyball, softball, volleyball and basketball, was the state high school player of the year somewhere in the mid-90s. And so I was very, very familiar with these guys. They would always stop by, and Dad was just such a social guy and a gregarious guy that these guys wanted to be around him. So anytime they were close, they would get together. Seeing some of his trophies, and my dad wore his national championship ring up until the very end. Another ring he wore that I was very proud of was our '93 ring. We got two of them. We got a silver ring and a gold ring, and I gave him my silver ring, and he wore that more than probably he did his national championship ring.
Yeah, I know that was a source of pride for him when that happened at Auburn. And you got one back earlier in the 90s, right? Or not?
So we got those both. We got one from the school, the silver ring with the blue stone in it from the school. And if we
Right.
wanted to, we could pay a little bit of money and get a gold ring with some stones in it. And we did. And So that's the one I have, and I gave that silver one to my father. One of the best memories I have is my last Tiger walk against Georgia in '94. We were undefeated going into that game, you know, 20 game winning streak. And my dad had his video camera, which consisted of half the VCR back then. You had to put the whole VCR tape.
Put it on your shoulder, right?
And put it on your shoulder, on a shoulder strap, and then have the camera that sat on your shoulder, you know. So it was a big deal. I remember those days. Yeah, I remember him lugging it to Washington, D.C. on a family vacation, and I don't know how he did it. But you know, he had that thing, and I told my mom, okay, be ready to grab it. So Patrick Nix and I walked every Tiger walk my whole career together, side by side. But right when we came out of Sewell Hall, my dad was on the right, and I grabbed him, and he walked Tiger walk with me. And it was a moment I'll never forget. He was ready to play. When we entered the gates of Jordan Hare, he, I think, could have run through a brick wall. He hadn't experienced that, you know, in quite a long time. And I think he was more fired up than anybody in the state of Alabama.
Got that old feeling, huh?
He did at the end of Tiger Walk. Yeah.
When growing up with him playing football, being a national champion, a lot of people who have a dad that played football, they say, well, you know, he pushed me into this or whatever. But do you remember, did he, I know he wanted you to play football, but did he push you? Did he let you do your own thing or what?
Yeah, no, not at all. He didn't push us at all. My dad played all sports growing up. He was a really good baseball player. He went to Avondale High School in Atlanta growing up, and they won the state championship in baseball his junior and senior year, and won the state championship in baseball his junior and senior year, and played for it three times. So they were really good. They had a really good program at Avondale back then, and Avondale would always play Valdosta. So the North and the South would end up playing. It was always Avondale and Valdosta. So Dad played really baseball and football were his two, and he was really good at both. Kevin, my brother, and I, baseball was kind of my first love. I played football because you just played all the sports. You played basketball, football, and baseball, and so I just played football. I loved baseball. Me and my brother were both catchers, my brother was much better than I was. He played at Daphne, went to some state championships at Daphne, and won a Little League World Series there. But my dad just, he never ever told us to go play. He encouraged us in anything we ever did, whether it was singing or, you know, I was in the ensemble. I was one of these kids that, me and a friend of mine named Jeff Miles, we were in this ensemble called the Baker's Dozen at Fairhope. And there were 12 of us, but a Baker's Dozen is 13. The irony of the Baker's Dozen was our teacher's name was Miss Baker. So we were the Baker's Dozen. That she made the 13th person, but we had to sing the Star Spangled Banner at the national anthem at Fairhope football games. And I'm sure Joe Dean hated it because I'm standing out there singing the national anthem while he's going over our last minute details. And I'm standing there in shoulder pads in my football uniform, me and Jeff Miles singing. He was a wide receiver singing the national anthem instead of listening to him. So he was probably really ticked off.
And then you ran back to get in the game.
And then ran back to listen to what he had to look, get cussed out. Whatever we did, he was there and always backed us. My dad owned an insurance company for property casualty in Mobile forever. And so he could make his own hours. And my dad, I don't remember, I'm sure he did. I don't remember my dad missing a practice. I would look up in the little bowl at Fairhope practice field. We practiced on campus at Fairhope, but there was a little bowl there. We call it the Dean Dome because it never rained. But my dad would park up there and roll down.
You couldn't get out of practice, huh?
No, never. And it parted. The clouds parted around the Dean Dome. But my dad always just sat up there and rolled down the windows and watched practice. For my whole career, baseball did the same with my brother at Daphne. Was always in the bleachers. Always traveled. Just a, you know, sports junkie.
Back with more with Brian Brinsfield on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report as we continue on the show right after this.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Wiltu, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. Talking with Brian Brinsfield on the show tonight. And Brian, we're talking about your dad a little bit, who we lost this week, and your relationship with him, and some great stories of you growing up and him as your father and mentor. And one thing I wanted to ask you about is you played center or long snapper at Auburn, but you never really played center like he did until you got to Auburn. Is that right?
I started out as a quarterback. We ran the triple option at Daphne.
Yeah.
And I guess they never saw me throw because I was a catcher. I had a decent arm, but I guess they had their quarterbacks at Fairhope when we transferred to Fairhope because I lived in Spanish Fort. So the progression was back then there was no Daphne High School. The start of Daphne High School was my senior year. We played them my senior year, the very first ball game, and beat them. In the very first Daphne Fairhope game. And, the way it went was I started out as a quarterback and then I got to Fairhope and they said, no, you're going to be a center. And I went, oh, okay, well, that didn't make any sense. But okay. So, you know, I played kind of both, but was behind Toby Shields and Toby went to Alabama and then I took over center.
I got you. So my point was, I guess your dad kind of like that and maybe gave you some tips at that point, huh?
Yeah. And the way I learned long snap, I learned long snap early, but I would throw and really pitch because we were in the option. I would draw circles on pine trees in the front yard and I would pitch those circles or throw to those circles. I really could throw. And then dad would come home and say, give me the ball. And I'd throw him the ball and he would take off his national championship ring. And cause it would fly off if he didn't and hand it to me. And he would pick out a circle and hit a, you know, snap the ball. He was a long snapper at Troy as well. And he would snap the ball to the circle on the tree. And he would, you know, if he hit it, he would go, still got it. And then walk off. And if he didn't, I'd have to chase it and he'd go, you know, until he hit it. But I don't like when somebody does something better than I, so I would practice that until he got home. And I just got good at it at a really early age.
So you could beat him.
Well, until I got decent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was a quarterback that could long snap. And it was weird.
Yeah. So he was, I never knew him, but kind of we talked maybe a little bit back and forth through you, but a real character, right?
Every person that sent me a text has said something about a story. I mean, my dad could tell a story whether he was in the story or not. Is remains to be seen. Now I think he's put himself in other people's stories. He's made himself the main character of other people's stories.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's a good story. I'll just make they're not here. So I'll just make myself the character in that story.
Yeah.
But he's made some good ones. And, you know, in fact, one of the funny stories that he's always told is in high school, he missed three extra points. In a state championship game against Valdosta, or semifinal game, I think, and they lost by 2 points. And he was a starting linebacker, starting center, place kicker, and he missed three extra points in a pouring down rain, muddy football game. That I just found a picture to verify that it was actually muddy and raining. I didn't believe him for a long time. But
there were ducks on the field, right?
That's right. But he said he was walking off the field and this guy said, you know, you lost me $200 or $300 because that guy bet on the game. And Dad said if he had it to do over again, and if he had any quick wit about him, you know, that he has now, he would have gone, yeah, but I won 500. He was worried about what he was going to get in the locker room, that he missed those 3x points and they didn't go to the state championship.
Yeah. I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories that you told me last week, I think, was the story when you told him that Auburn had fired Hugh Freeze. And is that something he said often?
No, but it's something you could hear him say. Mm-hmm. You could hear him say, just, you know, when he was barely lucid and really couldn't talk. And I went in early in the morning, one morning last week, around 4:30 a.m. And I said, Dad, hey, it's Brian. And he perked up and said, hey, Brian. And I said, I love you. And he said, I love you. And I said, well, Auburn fired Hugh Freeze. And he said, get out of here. And you couldn't understand it, but I knew what he said. And I said, you get out of here. And he said, no, get out of here. And I got him to say War Eagle. And that's the last words he said to me.
Yeah. I thought maybe that's something he said often to people, get out of here.
No, but he may have, but, it was an unprompted response from him that I didn't say I love you or something like, and he said it, and my dad had some pretty big strokes, so his brain wasn't really firing much. So for him to think of some words on his own was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I was trying to prompt him to get him to say something by saying we fired Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
And he did.
Just an instinct.
He absolutely did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great stories. I know you'll remember those for the rest of your life. And we're thinking about you and your family. You know that. And all of our listeners and all of the people that have called me this week to check on you and your dad and your family is incredible. But I know one thing I really liked is that you're going to have a service, I think, this weekend.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have another one down on the Eastern Shore where you spent a lot of years.
Yeah, I grew up there. I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, and you and I are both Tar Heels. We moved to the Eastern Shore when I was 3 or 4. And so I've lived there all my life. And I say I'm from there. And we moved up to Tennessee to be closer to my brother and his twin girls in 2020. And then I followed in 2021 to be closer to mom and dad because I knew they were having some problems with their health. And not getting younger. So we're going to have a little thing up here with the people that they've got to know. And then we're going to go down and have a little get together, down at Eastern Shore Baptist. I think it's going to be on the 6th in December. If anybody's listening and wants to come out, I'm not sure the time, but you can certainly get in touch with us or, comment on WarEagle.com or on our X page or our YouTube page, and I'll be glad to give you the details of that and celebrate my dad. And then we're also in next fall going to meet with his championship team at Troy and spread a few ashes on the Red Wave field and let him be forever part of that field.
Fantastic. We'll give out the details whenever you get them here on the show as we get closer to that. But appreciate you sharing that with us, Brian. And again, we're thinking about you. Let's talk some college football. You want to?
Let's do it.
Let's come back in just a second, and we'll talk about the coaching search and a little bit on the off week about some of the other games around the SEC with Brian Brensfield right after this. I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with SagePoint Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by SagePoint Financial Incorporated. All right, welcome back, everyone. Talking with Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, always an Auburn Tiger, national champion. And Brian, it's an off week for the Auburn Tigers, but a lot going on. A lot of people talking about the coaching search and who will be the next coach at Auburn. DJ Durkin is the interim. You watched the Vanderbilt game a little bit up close to you. Yeah. The guys played with a lot of heart in that ball game. The defense wasn't quite as good. They were playing against Pavia and his tight end also that came from New Mexico State and a pretty good offense. We could have won that ball game, went to overtime, but I thought, you know, it was the same story at the end, but I thought the bulk of the game, the guys played harder. The offense obviously played better with 563 yards, I think. And Ashton Daniels had a nice game. Didn't throw the ball downfield a lot, but did what he needed to do, and the Tigers had a chance to win. What did you think of that effort?
Yeah, you said it, and to kind of go around what you said and hit those topics, they came out with an intensity and an energy that we haven't seen. But that's DJ Durkin, and that's a defensive coach for you, a little more loose, unreserved. But he said it in his press conference. They were going to go out there with, kind of play unabandoned football and reckless abandoned football. What do you have to lose? Nothing. We gave up some points. I wondered if it was because maybe, and I don't think it is. I just wondered, this thought crossed my mind. I wondered if he was a little focused on maybe getting the offense going.
Yeah.
And maybe not so much on, not that he didn't spend as much time on the defense, but the guy's attention was obviously split.
Yeah.
Or this week.
That's the first thing that pops in your mind, really, anybody, I think.
That's a tough situation for him to be in.
But he said the Vanderbilt offense did some things that they hadn't done the rest of the season. Maybe they did the last quarter or so against Texas, but they a little up tempo and some things that Auburn hadn't seen a lot this year.
And they executed well. And when Vanderbilt, we've seen this team all year, and going back to last year, when this team executes well, they're hard to stop. I mean, Alabama barely stopped them. Texas couldn't stop them for a half. So let's be honest, and we did a really good job, I think, of corralling what we did, and then putting our offense I think Derek Nix did a really good job of getting Ashton Daniels in a position early where he was comfortable, gave him a lot of confidence with some easy throws. And you mentioned it, not going downfield so much. Well, he didn't have to. The throws that he made were high percentage throws. That gives him confidence. I haven't said it yet. He was able to check down a lot to his running backs, and that's a sign of a well seasoned, mature quarterback when not throwing into coverage, not trying to throw something open that's not, but throwing something that is open. And a lot of times that's a running back on an angle route or a flat route that maybe is a mismatch on a linebacker or the linebacker hadn't covered, or that's gotten lost in the scheme of blocking and such. So I thought Ashton did a really good job. Another thing I thought he did a really good job of was tucking the football when he needed to tuck the football and run. And so I was really impressed with Auburn as a whole. We just didn't close the game. And I know Coach Durkin is upset about that as anybody. And that's what I like about him is his intensity and his desire to compete.
Really a great talk after the game, I thought, in the locker room, which we've got on our X page if you haven't seen it. But everybody's talking about Ashton Daniels against Mercer. Do we play him and keep the momentum going? Do we not play him and keep his red shirt and play Deuce or Jackson, or what do we do?
Well, there's a lot of scenarios running around. So who's going to be Auburn's future? If Deuce is going to be Auburn's future, then, or Jackson or whoever, who's going to be Auburn's future? If Ashton Daniels is going to be Auburn's future, no, you redshirt, you don't play him.
It's been a good question lately.
Yeah. It has. If Jackson Arnold's going to leave, then you play Deuce, I think, against Mercer. You let Deuce just come in and get some game experience in Jordan Hare. Why not? Right. If Ashton Daniels is not going to be, if you know he's not going to be the future of Auburn football, you play him and you get him ready for Alabama. You give him one more game and that consistency. So we've already got a week off. That wouldn't be 2 weeks off that he hadn't played.
Right.
So you're talking about, it's like a starting pitcher that misses a start for whatever reason in baseball. That's just your tempo is off.
Yeah. Kind of lose your stuff.
You lose your stuff and that rhythm. So there's a lot of scenarios, and I think it goes to who's going to be the quarterback next year and what are we trying to do next year? If it's Ashton Daniels, I say we sit him.
Yeah.
What do you think?
My first thought is to sit him and play Deuce unless there's some kind of trouble. That's what I would do. And a lot of people talking about the coaching search also. I wanted to hit on that before we run out of time here, but I've heard some talk about DJ and the recruits and the players and how much they like him lately. I just want to get your thoughts on the coaching search and, some of the names we hear out there. And it's starting to seem to me like, and I felt this way for a while, I don't know if I'm right or not, but it's starting to feel to me like there's not a name out there that just you gravitate toward, except for the guy we already have, who I think is ready to be a head football coach, in my opinion.
Yeah. There are a lot of names out there, but do they fit? And then, who do they bring with them as far as coordinators? And that's going to have to be a question that DJ, if DJ gets the job, who is he going to put in those slots too? The problem is the big names are the coaches that are at a school that are going to have to be bought out. The Dillinghams, the Sumrals, the Keys, the coach here at Vanderbilt, they're going to have to be bought out. And so we're not talking about coaches that are not coaching and just can come. Yeah. So now maybe Franklin, he's out there, and Jimbo's been floated. But
I've heard that maybe Cohen talked to James Franklin recently, interviewed him, and also the thing has been out there about Dillingham, but they have a game this weekend, so I don't know how that happens when you have a game week. But those are two guys you think about.
Ippen, Drinkwitz, I mean, all those guys, again, you're going to have to buy them out, and why would they come? To Auburn, so that's a question.
Would they just use Auburn to get a better deal where they are? Yeah,
they very well could.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to this question of this search that I don't know if we can get in 4 or 5 minutes. Maybe another show.
We'll come back and talk about some of the ball games this weekend in the SEC right after this on Tiger Talk Overtime. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, back on the show. Time to pick a couple of games before we get out of here. And Brian Brinsfield is with us. Brian, the first one on my list is Texas A&M, the number one team in the league right now, against South Carolina this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, Texas A&M, as much as Texas A&M probably doesn't even think they deserve to be where they are, because Texas A&M is the stepbrother of the state. They're going, why? What are we? We're undefeated. What's going on? They don't stumble against SC, I don't think.
Yeah. And we've got Florida and Ole Miss. I think the Gators, after last week against Kentucky, are a little out of gas, and I would think that Ole Miss would take that one handily as well.
Yeah, is this a precursor to Kiffin, where he might be next year playing against that team? I don't know. I think Ole Miss handles business, but Florida looked pretty good. Who they played last? They looked pretty good against.
Let's see. They beat – who did they beat 2 weeks ago? I can't even remember now.
I can't either, but they look really good.
Yeah, but they didn't look good last week. So
it was Georgia against – they didn't beat them, but they played well against Georgia.
Should have beat them, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And okay.
I got Ole Miss in that one.
Yeah, so I think Ole Miss will win it. The two really good games of the weekend, Texas at Georgia – two teams that are in the top 10 now.
Yeah. Who shows up? Which team? I mean, both of those teams.
Yeah.
Which team shows up? It's at home, so that you give a point there to Georgia. But Georgia's not scoring a lot of points. Texas is bipolar. So, you know, where are they on offense? We don't know. It could be a 3-2 game. An Auburn Mississippi State game for Ole Miss from a long time ago.
And how many minutes does Kirby spend on the field? That's the big question. That's the over under.
That's right. Yeah, but I'll go Georgia by a point just because it's in Athens. But it could be an ugly game or a fun game or somewhere in between. But yeah. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It depends on who shows up.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Texas in that one just for fun.
I got Georgia just because you take Texas.
Then we got Alabama and Oklahoma, and Mateer looks like he's going to play. And Alabama, you know, they're playing pretty good. Struggled a little bit in the rushing game last week.
Yeah, this is one that they'll probably on College Game Day, they'll say this is maybe a trap game. But it's at Tuscaloosa. Bama doesn't lose a lot of games in Tuscaloosa. And I think they have they've got their formula down. So I don't see Bama losing this ball game. It may be a close game, but Oklahoma may hang in, but I see Bama probably beating them.
See the tide in the end, unless they run a trick play.
Unless they run somebody from off the sideline or don't.
I'm going back in our season too much.
That's right. That's right. Hey, yeah. We got to snap out of it.
Anyway, it's been fun. It'll be a fun weekend to watch the football games. I hope you get to do that, Brian. Appreciate you visiting with us on a tough week. You know, we're thinking about you and thinking about your dad and your whole family. And we will see you very soon. We'll talk again next week. War Eagle.
Yeah, thanks for letting me visit and talk about dad and War Eagle. We'll see how this week goes, and we'll talk next week.
Always a pleasure. Brian Brinsfield with us on the show tonight. That's all the time we have. Thank you to all our great sponsors for keeping us on the air. Don't forget to join us for Auburn Sports all through the week on our X page, on our YouTube channel. You can find them both at WarEagleTV.com. Enjoy basketball on Sunday against Houston, everybody. Until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle.